Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production. I wrote for luck and they sent me you, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Palace punished Everton and Jose Mourinho beat Sarri in the derby. It's Monday, 21st of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Lars Ewerson.
Oi, oi, oi. Everybody's second favourite scandalous Scandi is here.
Hello.
That's you,
I can tell you the vibe is raucous this morning in the studio, in the office. It's as lively as I've been on a Monday morning for a long time. I'm
Absolutely.
Enjoying it so far.
A Lars a day helps you work, rest and banter, as the old slogan said.
It's a very cumbersome slogan. Like, it doesn't scan at all, but it's worth remembering.
Needs another draft at least.
I've been meaning to talk to you, Marcus Speller.
Why are you choosing now to do this?
Well, because I had a dream, and I think we should start off on this foot.
Bloody no.
I had a dream.
We'll get to the football in a bit, everybody.
Yeah, just before the weekend, I had a dream in which inexplicably I was doing a live show with you guys, which feels like a promotion I haven't really earned, but that was happening.
Yes.
But every time I opened my mouth, I said something catastrophically unfunny.
Oh, right.
And it just kept happening. It was, and then at one point you broke out a guitar and you were playing a very nice song.
Surely an Oasis number.
No, a very sort of tender singer-songwriter thing. Okay. Yet I kept interjecting at the worst possible moments, trying to be funny and failing completely.
Okay.
And it just didn't stop. It went on for so long.
Well, I suppose people will think, you know, by the end of this podcast, has he learned his lesson?
Well, this is the thing. Like, I just want to put that out there. That's the kind of pressure I'm living with here.
Yeah. Well, you've just thrown a load of pressure on yourself. Yes. Jim and I were going to give you a clean slate today. Mm. I've lived that. And it's exactly as bad as you
became. Yeah, this is what I'm thinking.
It's awful. Uh-huh. Absolutely awful.
Did I save you with a guitar, though?
Don't remember that happening.
Okay.
Only for you to dramatically undermine the efforts of the guitar. Yeah. Just fuck off, Lars. Go home. You don't even go here.
Were you getting heckled in the dream?
I was.
Yeah, awful.
Oh, blimey.
Blimey, O'Reilly, everybody. Well, Lars, let's hope that it's not one of those performances today. And I don't think it is. I'm sure people will be delighted to hear that you're on today's podcast. You get always a rapturous reception, as if you were Nottingham Forest playing at the City Ground.
Very good. There we go. Oh my God, what a pro.
I know.
There was a rapturous reception. It was a great atmosphere.
It was a great atmosphere. Klopp said it felt like a European night in Nottingham. And then did he not also add on, I know they haven't had a European night here for a while.
I hope he did.
And it was like, Jürgen. I'm pretty sure he said that. I was like, there's no need for that.
Yeah. But they were big rivals at one time, a very long time ago. But Klopp knows his history.
At a specific
time. He knows the
fabric
of the club, doesn't he? So I like to think he might have got like a little dig in there for the over 60s.
Well, he said that you say he knows his history. He said before the game that he'd only known the city from watching Robin Hood as a kid. Forest fans, a few Forest fans.
I saw people were not happy about that.
Yeah, but he didn't say the club. He said the city, specifically the city. I mean, do you know anything about Nottingham the City, Lars?
I saw the cartoon.
Yeah, in whatever cartoon that was, Jim. I don't, let's just go straight to that Philip Zinchenko chance, because it could have been oh so different for Forest.
It had a big sort of press the wrong button on FIFA vibe, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
He waited for the pass instead of the
absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, too many short passes in the build up, and you just muscle memory. You just sort of you went for it, and you passed to the outside. Yeah.
You're absolutely right with that description, and also that when the ball came over, you're thinking stick the ball in that area. Mm-hmm. Yes, you've got it, and as the ball just ever so slightly goes slightly under him, you think, oh, what are you going to do? Oh, no. Yeah.
You have to take your chances against Liverpool when you are Real Madrid. Yeah.
Let alone
if you're Forest, and you're taking the piss there.
Oh, it's such a shame as well. And then, of course, Jota scores straight after that. I mean, they did have other moments as well. Ryan Yates had a header late on, didn't he? Mm. But also, when he went round Alisson, and he leaves his foot in. Obviously, you can see what he's trying to do. Yeah. Now, in the age of VAR, that's a little bit silly, but, you know, it has worked for one or two people. I thought he could have got the ball.
He could have. And I also think this is one of those things that the referees have kind of been told to look out for. I'm not sure if that's just PGML, if it plays to the cups well. But there was a thing in the summer where, on penalties, look for not just if there's contact, but if it actually has an effect, if it actually fouls the guy.
Yeah.
So just leaving your foot in like that.
I mean, he does play in the championship, but they don't have VAR.
It was very interesting listening to the radio, hearing two ex-pros saying they thought it was a penalty.
Did they?
Yeah, because I think...
Who were they? Jürgen Klinsmann?
It was Stephen Kelly and Glenn Murray for some reason?
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, strange lineup, but there they were.
Neymar would have thought it was a penalty.
Yeah, but I just think it's the kind of... I think that has been a penalty very often. I think for a very long time, in situations like that, the ref will go, he touched him! But there is a real consciousness now towards, like, not just has someone touched you in the box, in which case you're allowed to flop over, but has someone actually fouled you in the box. And those are different things.
And actually, I think... In that situation, perhaps the kind of forensic analysis that's being applied to handball would probably be quite useful.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever flopped over in the box, Jim?
Can't say I have.
If someone's touched you there.
And it does come back to my thing about penalties, is that I think they're bad. I think as the young people in the gaming world, which I'm very familiar with, it's OP.
Right,
penalties are overpowered. Like, it's just the idea that any foul in the box needs to be a penalty, which basically gives you a sort of 78% chance of a goal. Mm-hmm. It causes a lot of strange behavior because it's such a valuable thing to get.
Sure.
And it really encourages, and I'm not saying in this situation, if you had fouled him, obviously, but it makes players, and they grow up thinking any contact in the box, you've got to go down, because if you do win a penalty, it's a huge win for your career.
I think it's a handy lesson in that, life isn't fair. And penalties reflect that.
Yeah, I mean, this is the opposite end, the extreme opposite end to the very historical club, Corinthian Casuals, who many, many years ago, of course, if they gave away a penalty, the goalkeeper would stand to one side and let the penalty taker slot it down the middle, because they felt that if you gave away a penalty, well, then that's your problem and you might as well just...
I'm all for nominative determinism, but I feel like that's taking it too far. I mean, yeah. That is too casual.
Right.
You put some oomph into it.
Exactly. Incidentally, Lionel Messi had that penalty against him and he hit it over the bar one time.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I don't know. I feel that your debate on penalties will kind of rage on with the young people, but it's good to know that you've represented them today.
Hashtag OP.
As you often do.
Penalties OP.
The enjoyably named Cafu also had
they
a
need
chance.
A nerf.
They do.
Penalties need to get nerfed.
Stop it.
I've been on the internet.
There are people above 30 who listen to podcasts and I demand you respect them, okay?
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Me as well. So Forrest did have a few moments though, Jim, but I mean... Liverpool are Liverpool, aren't they?
They are.
And they managed to get through. And the quadruple's on. They're in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. The Premier League title race is well and truly on. They're 1 point behind Manchester City. They're in the semi-finals of the FA Cup. They've already got the League Cup in the bag. Mm. But, of course, Manchester City, they have a chance to win the treble as well. Only one English side have ever done the treble. Of course, Manchester United in 99. They didn't do it in 2008, would it have been?
City might argue that they did a domestic treble.
I never said the domestic treble. I said the treble.
But I'm saying that they might argue it.
Careful, because you're going to encroach on Danny Murphy territory when they won the treble at Liverpool that season in 2001. But with Manchester City and Liverpool going into it, they both can't win the treble.
No, they can't. And it's tempting. This sort of happens often, doesn't it? Around this point in the season, there's someone like going great guns. And you think, oh, could they actually do it? And it's tempting to just say no, because it's really hard and someone comes up short. But the way Liverpool play, they're capable of winning any type of game. Mm, and we've seen that all season. So I do wonder if actually that they're capable of it. I've been saying all season I think that they'll win the Champions League, and not really seen anything to suggest that that's wrong. I know they lost to Inter at home, but you know it was in circumstances where they were still sort of in control of that.
We've seen that before when a team goes away from home and they win fairly comfortably, and they it's a good score, and they come home and they can be a bit sloppy, but they're through, and they both play each other, of course, Lars, in the semi-final.
Yeah, and I want to call this now, like, as the resident Europhile. I'm the person who would normally not say this because I like to think I'm immune to the Premier League hype machine, and like everything's always a bit better on the continent, really, when you think about
you and your game.
Yeah, but to be fair, the Premier League hype...
Think a bit differently,
The Premier League hype machine, though, is in full flow in Norway.
But what the point I want to make is that I don't think there is any debate at all right now that Liverpool and Man City are the best two clubs in the world right now.
Yeah. Well, Chelsea are the best team in the world.
Well obviously, aside from that. But if you look around Europe... You know, I don't think there's much doubt. I mean, you can make a case for Bayern, but they're having a slightly weird one defensively. I mean, maybe we can chat about that in a different podcast on this network.
Oh, yeah.
But what I'm saying is, from the Europhile perspective, yes. I think Man City and Liverpool are the best two teams in the world currently.
I agree with
and,
you.
And so I think they'll go over. So it is kind of a shame that that's the semi-final in the FA Cup, really. I feel like it should have been the final.
Actually, I disagree, because I think it increases Crystal Palace's chances.
It does, that is
just
true.
By like a 0.5%
or
something
like
that.
It keeps the dream alive.
And by the way, if you are not a Man City, Liverpool or Chelsea fan, or a Brighton. No, bollocks. Even if you are a Brighton fan, you should all be supporting Crystal Palace.
100%. Absolutely.
Even if you think, oh, I'd quite like to see Liverpool win a treble.
If they win the FA Cup, in a way, everyone wins the FA Cup.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly right. But of course, Liverpool are playing Manchester City. Just a quick mention, of course, we said this on Friday, and it was a nice touch at the City Ground. 97 seats were left vacant to honour those who lost their lives at Hillsborough when, of course, the two sides met in 1989. So, nice touch from the City Ground there and all those involved. But yes, as I said, Liverpool will play Manchester City because they ended up beating Southampton 4-1. It ended up being fairly standard stuff, although Southampton gave them a little bit of a tall order to begin with, but I mean, Southampton have drawn twice with Man City in the league.
Yeah, and I feel for Hasenhüttl and Southampton a bit, because the first two goals they conceded were so unnecessary. Mm. Like the first with the defender Stevens just kind of having a severe emotional incident, I think, in the box. So whatever happened with him there, that was a strange way to behave for a centre half when you're playing Man City.
Yeah.
And then you give away a stupid penalty as well, and it's like you're already up against it when you're playing the Death Star. And then, of course, so we don't get angry letters from City fans, we should mention the quality of the last two goals was
indeed,
unbelievable.
Indeed,
like,
indeed.
Yeah, Foden's correct. was beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. No, you are absolutely right. Yeah, don't buy a billionaire a gift, sort of thing. You know, don't like give them a penalty.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I did quite like it. Guardiola called Southampton one of the best, most organised teams that we face all season. Now, to be fair, like I say, they have drawn against them twice in the league, but he's often forthcoming with praise after they've just beaten a side. And Klopp did that a little bit with Forest when he said they were cheering every tackle they put in. He went, "Oh, I do like this."
But I think there's something to, like you said, it was clear that Forest played in a sort of energetic way that Klopp believes this is how football should be played.
So basically, yeah. Whereas if you play into their ideologies, they'll go for it.
Klopp speaks like a fan quite often.
Yeah. Whereas nice to see. You say that about Guardiola, and it's true, but he praises teams that kind of do things the way he likes it.
Yeah, of course,
and Southampton are clearly a very well-coached team and often come across as more in the sum of their parts. And, you know, they press in certain areas and, you know, Hasnotel seems like a good coach and all this sort of thing.
Yeah.
But again, yeah, if you're Southampton and you're playing Man City, if you have a great day and everything goes right, you'll still probably lose because you're playing Man City. But you know, everything needs to go your way.
That's right.
And you can't be like conceding the gold. And it just doesn't,
you're absolutely spot on. of course, in the other side of the draw, it'll be Crystal Palace versus Chelsea. I mean, my goodness, Crystal Palace, what a performance at Selhurst Park, Jim. 4-0 against Everton. They were at their scintillating best.
They were. They'd love it, didn't they?
Yes.
It's just pressure-free at Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the most fun team to play for in the Premier League.
That's a big shout.
It is.
That is,
but I've shouted it.
Yeah, Lars, are you going to shout whisper it?
I am more like I'm sort of in awe about how quickly they've gone from being arguably the least interesting team in the league to watch. Which, to be fair, I think they were for a period under Hodgson. To one of the, like, I look forward to watching them now.
It's a bit of a switch, isn't it?
And having that three, I mean, I'm so glad to see him on the pitch and playing well, seeing Iberreza back here, because he was obviously had a really bad time with injury.
Yep.
But he's like an incredibly entertaining player to watch when he's on song. If you add him and Michael... Have him and Michael Olise...
With Zaha
and
there.
Wolf Zaha.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The total
Gallagher too.
Incredible vibes.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
Those three in particular is like, that's a really fun team.
Oh my
like,
God.
I mean, if you're not a fan, you'd buy tickets for that.
Well, most sides will... Well, okay. Some sides will have one of those types of players. They've got three, which is
full of vibes.
And as you say, Gallagher's there to kind of press.
Provide the hustle.
If they lose the ball, maybe you can sort of mop up like Piatek can as well. But they were absolutely superb. And when the second goal went in, which was a great move, you saw the way Vieira celebrated. He was just like, yes, this is exactly what we planned.
I didn't think that, actually.
But it really, you can see it's all coming to fruition. It's all being played out. And great goal from Gay as well, after being called up for the England squad. You know, marvellous moment for him. But it was glorious. I mean, I know Everton, they had a couple of moments, but really they were piss poor. I mean, there's no two ways about that. You do worry for them. I mean, Frank Lampard, all his bones were intact in this game. Well, apart from the one that was previously broken, maybe that was the problem. But he accused his players of lacking the bollocks to perform at the required level, Jim. Now, that is the kind of thing a coach says if they inevitably are coming to the end of their reign because they've lost the dressing room, it's not going well, and so on and so forth. Lampard's not been there that long.
Is that telling, though? Are you calling it now?
Well, I know they've struggled a bit, but what do you
gone
what,
by May?
But what do you think
that
of that?
I mean,
he said we didn't play that badly today. Palace didn't play that well. It was a lack of confidence and a lack of what I said. It wasn't tactics. He blamed the scheduling.
Says the coach.
Yes, indeed. He blamed the scheduling. He said they should have played at 3 or 4 o'clock. He blamed Alan's suspension and the previous way the coaches have managed the squad. I mean, this looks quite desperate.
That's
already.
Isn't it?
What are your thoughts on that, Jim?
Do I think it's Marco Silva's fault? Probably not.
How many previous coaches are you blaming Big Sam here?
Is it Howard Kendall's fault? I want you to answer that. But Lars, what do you think of this?
Slightly alarmed by this absence of bollocks. I mean, I hope he's speaking metaphorically here because, I mean, surely the team showed a significant testicular fortitude to come back and get a win against Newcastle, I thought. So the bollocks were certainly present.
Uh-huh.
Now, the concern is if they had some sort of collective sort of neutering session in the area in the time between that would have been very bad as a strategy.
Yes,
you don't neuter your players.
But you can. But with Lampard kind of coming out with this sort of stuff, this is the kind of thing that Jose Mourinho would sort of do at a certain time when it's all kind of going on and it's beginning to unravel. As I say, he hasn't been there that
long. But it's a message to the players, really, isn't it?
But is it the right message? Because players nowadays...
It's a helpful message.
Well, I was going to say...
It's not constructive criticism, isn't it? So you're mentally weak. You're like, that's like something you are. That's not something you can do differently.
I think this is one of those cases of if he could do that interview again with a bit of time to reflect after the, you know, rather than do it straight after a game when you've been pumped 4-0 and you're speaking with emotion, that he would, you know, he would probably phrase everything differently. But they did show, as you say, testicular fortitude to come back and win the game against Newcastle. And then that's just evaporated, isn't it?
So it's like nutrient.
That's yeah, exactly. It's like an absolute castration of a performance.
Yeah, the Friday castration. You got to take it off the schedule. But unhelpful.
But that must be maddening for Lampard, right? Because all that momentum is gone. Like that win over Newcastle, aside from the points on the board, which are of course the most important thing, is irrelevant now in terms of in terms of their self-image, really. And it must just be absolutely maddening.
It must be, yeah. I mean, I did find it interesting when he said Palace didn't play that well. I thought to myself, okay, you can criticise your squad, but I mean, don't say that because Palace looked pretty good to me.
Yeah.
Vieira stressed to keep everybody's feet on the ground, it's just one step forward for us, because that step does take them to Wembley and it, they will face Chelsea. I mean, my question is now, though, of course, will he do an Alan Pardew hip wiggle at Wembley, given the chance?
I think the odds on that would be very long.
Yes. Okay. We'll take that. But they're going to play Chelsea. Chelsea beat Middlesbrough 2-0. We always have to call it, don't we? If a bigger side goes away to a championship side, 2-0, a professional job.
A professional job. They handled the circumstances well.
And all that.
Well, in fairness, I mean, I hate to say the friends, in fairness to Chelsea, I mean, it's not really in vogue, is it, to be fair to Chelsea? I have a modicum of sympathy for the players and the coach who are kind of stuck in this sort of very odd situation with all these stories that has none to do with the football side of it.
Yep.
And they are playing football in the middle of all this. That is certainly a thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So I think that's probably, you look at the draw in the semi-finals, obviously Liverpool, Man City, it's probably the best draw that Palace could have hoped for, Jim. I mean, you know, just based on the league table, and as we said earlier about Liverpool and Man City.
Yeah, I guess so. But
you,
that's
give them
a fine
chance
margin,
at all?
Isn't it? They've got a chance for sure. I mean, this is, again, this is part of the character of Palace, isn't it? They like to bloody noses, as we said the other day.
Yeah.
So I think actually they won't care about the name they're playing. They will enjoy the occasion.
Well, and of course,
I think they do have a chance.
Yeah,
I don't think it's completely cut and dried. And you're right. I think against City or Liverpool, I might not think that as much. Although they like playing Liverpool, don't they? So
for sporting integrity, though, empty stadium at Wembley for the semi-final?
Yeah. So it's only fair.
Yeah.
Half empty, yeah.
Imagine they've shown that they can go to a ground and with not many of their supporters and win. So
yeah, I don't know, I don't know that many Palace fans, but if they do enjoy bloodying noses, I mean, getting to the semi-final is great. Listening to Frank Lampard after the game, possibly even better.
Yes.
One to focus most on. Motivational man, Frank Lampard, going on. I've got the bollocks.
That's a fair comment. All right, everybody, we're going to have a quick break, and after which we'll talk about some Premier League action. See you in a moment.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome to Eureka, the show that gets under the skin of science in a good way. I'm Rick Edwards.
And I'm Dr. Michael Brooks.
Not the kind of doctor who'd be able to help much if you were having like a heart attack. But if you're wondering about quantum physics or the theory of matter, he's your man.
Well, probably.
Every week we're asking a new puzzling question from the world of science and discovering the answer with the help of a world-leading expert.
Like, will we ever talk to animals?
They are definitely talking. You know, that's, again, a word that I would qualify because we usually mean that vocally. But in their own ways, they're talking to us every single day.
Are face transplants the future of cosmetic surgery?
Given that range of what's considered attractive, there's probably no point wanting to change your face to be more attractive if you follow science. And should we fear an alien invasion?
If an imperialistic drive brings other civilizations to us, then obviously it's not good news. But if it's scientific exploration, it may be good news.
If you're interested in learning a little bit more about the weird, magnificent world around us, then this is the show for you. Eureka. Subscribe now and find us on Twitter at EurekaPod. New episodes every Wednesday.
Eureka is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Average performance, average cup tie, in that we allowed them to win 4-0.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Oh, they allowed them to win 4-0.
It's not ideal, is it? If that's an average cup tie for you, then you can't have played that many cup games, because if that's what always happens, then you don't go very far.
Yeah. It was like he was adding up the score on his head in that pause, wasn't it?
How very generous of you, Frank. Right then, we've got a four to score update, everybody. Let's see how we got on in Betway's four to score on the week. An entry to Betway's four to score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. In game one, Crystal Palace versus Everton, Vish picked Conor Gallagher. Of course, it was Mark Gay. In game two, Leicester City versus Brentford, Jim picked James Maddison. It was, of course, Timothy Castagna. Maddison did score, but it wasn't the first goal. Southampton versus Manchester City. Luke picked Raheem Sterling, and the result was Raheem Sterling. Well done, big Lukey Moore. In game four, Spurs versus West Ham, I picked Son Heung-min. Now, the first goal scorer was, it was technically a Kurt Zouma own goal, so it goes to the next goal, which was Son Heung-min. So I was correct, Jim.
You were.
Two out of four.
It's all right.
That's equaled our best.
And also because Maddison scored, I want some credit for that.
No.
But like, you know, That counts as well, right? I think, does that mean this is our best?
Two out of four, we fail. You've got to get four out of four. It's win or nothing.
You've changed.
So, but Betway haven't. So not a bad showing. Gives us a bit of confidence going in to the next round of four to score, which will be on the preview show this Friday. Okay, everybody, time for emails. You know if you got a email to show. Lars, his ears pricked up after that little ditty, didn't it?
A surprisingly long jingle.
Absolute sex music, isn't it?
Yeah. That's what I like that it took the mood down to a slightly more sort of tranquil level.
Indeed,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Really ready for the emails.
Callum Potts has been in touch, and I hope he appreciates that. He says,
hello, Callum.
Hello. Your Friday Alan McGregor cod liver oil bath chat brought back painful memories of the game I played last year as part of Vermont's worst Sunday league team.
Oh, appropriate for the music.
As if playing in a side regularly getting thumped by 10 wasn't bad enough, one opposition striker had clearly taken this trick to heart. However, this man had prepared for the game. You could smell him coming from at least 5 feet away. Oh, no. Marking him was the sensory equivalent of diving open mouth through diaper bins.
Oh.
You could tell where he'd been making his runs from by the fetid heat maps that lingered for several seconds. seconds after he'd passed through. To top it all off, and a decent explanation for his aggressive pungency, he somehow started the game already unpleasantly moist on an otherwise dry day. Needless to say, he was not closely marked all night and we suffered another heavy defeat.
Oh, man.
Horrendous.
A dirty strike.
Horrendous.
Canny strategy.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Was it Francesco Potti?
Couldn't tell me, mate.
Lars, you've got an email.
Oily forward. It's good. We've got an email from Ed Ritter, who writes in to say that Inter Miami Beckham FC, which really should be their full name, let's be honest. Inter Miami Beckham FC for the 2022 MLS season, 1 point from four games. 10 goals conceded, 2 goals scored. Lost to the team that finished bottom of the league for the last 3 seasons this weekend by a score of 3-1, with the only goal for Miami scored a penalty. Sinking ship.
Oh.
Yeah, losing to Cincy, not good. I feel like... So, you guys, with the MLS, as we all know, they have the whole wage parity thing. Like, everyone can spend the same amount. Mm. Except for Inter Miami, who have been penalized for shenanigans, administrative shenanigans last year.
Yep.
So, actually... being in a bit of a poor state to begin with, it's now become harder for them. So yes. I think as much as we like to have a giggle at Fizzer, he's been dealt a difficult hand of cards this season. Yeah.
Which to me makes it all the funnier.
I mean, if you think about, you know, Chelsea, obviously financial woes, you could call them at the moment.
Shenanigans.
Thomas Tuchel has been quite statesmanlike. He's been. Is this what we think Fizzer will suddenly do it into Miami, Jim? I mean, he said recently about Gonzalo Higuain, who I think scored the penalty. It was certainly an Higuain. I didn't check which one. Phil Neville said of Higuain, he has to perform. He has to stand up and score.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Maybe he's on like a group chat with Frank Lampard where they sort of exchange ideas from motivational speech. Just say, you got to show the, you know, show your bits and run around and it'll be fine. Yeah.
I've had a thought. Win.
Yeah.
Men kick football. Uh-huh. So goal.
I think Inter Miami are going to be fine because as well, what's great is one of the best things about supporting a football team is winning cup finals. And when Inter Miami play poorly, suddenly every game becomes
every
like a
game
cup
is
final.
A cup final to so make
really
the playoffs.
It's a sensible strategy from old Fizzer. There we are.
Get it your... would definitely save them from relegation.
I'd say so. factually
keep
speaking.
Keep them up.
Get your questions in for Pep Talks on Wednesday to show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble for all this kind of nonsense. Right, gentlemen, to the Premier League. Spurs 3, West Ham 1. A huge win for Spurs in the race for the top 4. Antonio Conte said their 9 remaining league games are all cup finals.
They're also cup finals.
I mean, it's Fizzer-esque stuff.
I mean, again, if he knew anything about Tottenham's recent history, he would know that that is not the thing to say. I mean, they're...
we remember Robbie Keane.
The worry is that Harry Kane will take this to heart and just not perform at all in any of those games.
Always a dig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good win for Spurs, Jim. It's obviously a sort of a derby match against West Ham. West Ham, I would say, were buzzing after their Europa League game. They were absolutely knackered Europa League game. Yeah, and the last thing you want is Son sort of charging at you if you know. You're feeling a little bit tired. Son said he felt sorry that Kane didn't score in the game.
Oh.
Isn't that nice?
Bored of it. Yeah. Bored of the pair of them.
Yeah. Kane did have a couple of opportunities. I was quite enjoyed Son's second goal, Lars, when Kane sort of flicked it on and Son took it down. It was quite Saturday morning Route 1 football.
It was. We saw two of the three things that makes Kane exceptional, right? He has this weird combination of abilities. First of all, obviously, he's like a world-class finisher and shooter of ball. Mm. But also this idea that he can both drop deep and play the sort of the quarterback pass.
Yes.
But he's also strong and rugged enough you can use him as a target man to do flick-ons. I really struggle to think of an example of a player who's got all those three in his locker. It's a very rare sort of treble of abilities.
Rooney did back in the day.
Yes.
You could say.
Yeah, I think as well, it's a similar sort of football intelligence with Kane, isn't it? You feel like he thinks faster than a
combative player, Rooney, but was he really much of an aerial threat, like a target man? Could you whack it up to him? Surely that's what Heskey was there for.
Not for Man United.
Maybe he should have been.
I know what you mean. I mean, Conte said this about Kane, didn't he? Sort of, he's like a number 9 and a number 10. He obviously would be disappointed he didn't score, but I mean, something, you know, with Son playing there. It's a bit like with England, with Southgate, you know, utilising Sterling in a slightly similar kind of way. You know, it's a very effective tactic.
But there's a philosophical question here, is because Tottenham now actually have won two in a row.
Yeah.
So they're not doing the win-loss, win-loss, win-loss thing.
Yeah.
Does that mean they're now not more predictable, or does it actually make them more unpredictable? Because they were in a settled sort of...
Maybe they'll lose two in a row.
Maybe.
That's what it is, yeah.
I mean, that would be unfortunate, obviously, because their next game's against Newcastle. So
it's a huge win, though, isn't it? For that exact reason. They need to sort of get some stability, and especially to get a win over another team that are fighting for that fourth spot.
It was very important, but I think you flagged it up. The West Ham fatigue looked to me like he was playing a part. Like, yeah. Paul Michel Antonio, like, he's played a lot of football this year, and he was, look, again, making a gaming reference, like in a game, if one of those where you have to like feed yourself or your character dies, he's like, he's right in the red zone with the character isn't running as fast as usual.
And like,
your screen is sort of blinking. It's like he needs sustenance.
It's like fading Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say a FIFA reference, as in he's basically pressing the sprint button.
Too
holding
long.
The trigger. You have to release it at some point.
Yeah.
Otherwise, your players are going to be knackered. Kurt Zouma scored an own goal. Quite pleasingly for animal lovers.
That's obviously something. There's been a lot of that this year.
The Spurs fans sang, "Hey, Zouma, leave those cats alone," the tune of Pink Floyd's The Wall, which was enjoyable. A fan held a banner that read, "Kurt Zouma shags cats." Clearly misunderstood the situation.
Well, it's any stick to beating with about that, isn't it? I think is what they're going for there.
I quite enjoyed that Heung-Min Son ran into Anthony Taylor at one point in the game and then tried to claim a foul at one point. It's just like...
You
need to kind of... But West Ham, they'd be a bit disappointed, but of course still glowing somewhat despite their tiredness from that great win against Sevilla. West Ham's best shot, surely, and most enjoyable route, I might add, to the Champions League next season is to win the Europa League, Lars.
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying not to sound condescending here. They're having a great year.
Yeah, well,
they've done a really good job. They've done so well.
No, but you are channeling
this. It's just going condescending, no matter how
this. Because you're channeling what sort of Moyes said. Moyes said after the game, "Well, we've had a great week."
Yeah.
So,
no, but they're having
a
great. In terms of the finances, in terms of everything around it, when you compare them to the clubs they're trying to compete with here, they just don't have the squad depth.
No.
And it's hard for them to buy the squad depth. Mm-hmm. And so I think the only way they were going to make top four is if basically their first 11 stayed fit and informed and could play all the games, which I just don't think is physically possible these days. So they're going to fall away a bit in the league, most likely. But yeah, what an adventure the Europa League is. Take that super seriously. Ask Fulham fans. You know, this is a kind of memory for decades.
Is that potentially a problem, though? If you think, it's all right. We don't need to worry about the league so much because our plan is to win the Europa League and stay in Europe.
I think it's come to the point. You know, we played 30 games. There's not that many games left. They've got 8 games left. They are on 48 points. Wolves are 2 points behind them. The difference in 7th and 8th, depends on how it works out, but I wouldn't, you know, I'm not sure about the jeopardy there. Aston Villa are 9th on 36 points. West Ham will finish in the top 8 this season, which is a good season. I know when we're talking about European football, and we'll see, because if they get put out in the next round of the Europa, be a little bit of a damp squib, you might say. But I actually think now to prioritise the Europa League would be a very sensible thing to do. But when you say prioritise the Europa League, it's not like you're throwing the towel in on the league.
It's more a question, if you have 2 games in a week and you know you have to rest someone for one of them,
then
a couple of players.
Well, Antonio, point in case, you know, he's a very physical player.
Yes.
He makes great runs and he pushes the defenders back and it gives other players room to play, and he's a very vital player to have in there. If you're going to play against Sevilla, you're going to play 120 minutes against a very canny side, then you go away to Tottenham Hotspur in a derby. Next time, you might rest him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Now, I know people say, well, you can't rest him for a derby. Okay, and Moyes said himself it was the worst game to come into. But I think for them to start to prioritise the Europa League would be quite a sensible thing to do. What they're doing. But that doesn't mean to say they're gonna throw the towel in, as we say. Gentlemen, I'd like to turn our attention to a former Tottenham Hotspur manager, Jose Mourinho.
Of course.
Who will currently be like the cat that got all the clotted cream, because his Roma side beat Lazio 3-0. Roma's biggest derby win since 1999. Massive licks from Mourinho. He was giving it the big one on Friday or last week. And Jim, 3-0. You've got to hand it to him.
You do. You do. His Instagram post was amazing. It was it was him smiling on the coach on
and
the way
and a smug
there.
Smile. I've never
really
seen
smug.
Him. Yeah. I didn't know he had that range.
Yeah, you don't know that he had the smug smile.
Yeah,
in the locker,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah.
There
totally.
Is no smile in the eyes. Yeah. And then a second one where he is, it's just after the game and he's got the same smug smile. And the post was something like, you know, when you know before the game that you're going to win or something like that.
Yes, exactly.
Like, oh, I love that.
I do as well.
He always finds a new, like, troll format.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, he's pretty creative in that way. A brace for Tammy Abraham, Lars, becoming the second Englishman to score in the Rome Derby, of course.
He's good. He's playing very well.
Well, he's having a phenomenal season. Yeah. He's overtaken, here's a stat for you people, he's overtaken Gabriel Batistuta and Vincenzo Montella for most goals scored in the debut season for Roma. He's got 23 to his name in 40 appearances this season. It's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, he's also another little fact for you. He's the most expensive English player to join an overseas club at $34 million. Mm. But what a season, Lars.
Yeah. No, he's doing very well. Mourinho being Mourinho, obviously threw a bit of a wet blanket on it after the game.
Well, of course.
Yeah, no, I'd like to see him play with that attitude in every game. And but the thing is, as
we
much
can't
as,
have Tammy being no, the story.
As
here,
much
Lars.
As that is annoying, and it is tempting to make fun of Mourinho, he kind of does have a point in the sense that with Tammy Abraham, he could get even better.
Yes.
Because what you're seeing, you know, most games I've seen him play for Roma this season is that he could have scored even more goals because he's physically, he's very good. He's got that really good combination of got a good turn of pace, but also strong enough to put himself about.
That's right.
And his movement is clever. So he gets into a lot of really good positions. Mm-hmm. And if he's a little bit, just a tiny bit more clinical, that number of goals would be sensationally high. So he's very close to being even better. So I can see why Mourinho has actually gone in that direction with it.
Yeah, no, I think that is fair. I mean, obviously Mourinho we like to have a laugh with, but Abraham, I mean, he could be sitting on the bench for Chelsea at the moment, obviously with surplus to requirements there. I don't think he was even on the bench for the Champions League final.
I mean, he's exactly the player they need at the moment, well, isn't he, in this form?
Yeah, possibly. But then you look at the Roma fans chanting his name with the plum, and he's getting goals in the derby out there. What a move he's had. It's working out very, very well indeed. At the end of the first half, Roma being 3-0 up, of course, because all the goals came in that first half. They were making Ole chance with every pass, but Mourinho was visibly furious with this.
He doesn't like this. He spoke about this after game. He said, I don't like those Ole things. I don't like the impact it has on the players who hear it even at the end of the game, let alone after 43 minutes. I don't like a player interpreting that Ole as a game being finished or they're putting on a show. Respect is very important. I mean, this is great. A man who, of course, always respects his opponents.
Absolutely.
He's never done or said anything disrespectful to anyone.
I mean, that Instagram post is a case
crucial
in point.
Respect. It's all about respect.
Indeed.
Oh, and it's very important that the players know they're not putting on a show here.
That's right.
Like, you mustn't entertain people.
Not
or,
at all.
You know, no joy.
So, it's so Mourinho, isn't it? Yeah, the performance was great. My one issue is the fans.
But what I mean, was it a mark of respect when they beat Vitesse in the Europa Conference League last week? And he said, you know, we're playing in Europe and Lazio are at home smoking with Sarri.
Almost certainly.
Yeah, it must be some sort of respect thing. I don't know. I do not know everybody. But yes, back to the Premier League, though, as I say. So the race for top four, I mean, Arsenal, we'll come to them in just a sec, looking good. Spurs in there. Manchester United, suppose they're still in there. But West Ham, we think, have dropped off. And Wolverhampton Wanderers, they've had a good season, you have to say. But if there was any hope of them finishing in the top four, then Leeds United certainly killed it off on Friday night.
Yeah.
In an incredible comeback. I mean, well, I mean, O'Reilly, stupid, sexy Jesse went mad on the touchline, did he not?
Can I just say, and I'd like to think I'd have said this, even if stupid, sexy Jesse was Cambodian or from Estonia or something, this game had enormous MLS energy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right.
And I say that as someone who's slightly nocturnal, who watches a bit of MLS, but it's like, it's in one trade, and then you get a slightly weird refereeing decision, and then it goes completely mad, and you see some really strange goals.
Yeah.
This is what you get from that league over there, guys. It was tremendous, and you love to see it.
Yes.
I enjoy this.
Well, and keeping up with MLS, I mean, Luke Ayling celebrated and said he tried to land a Robbie Keenstell, the former LA Galaxy man.
I was surprised to see how many people on social media who didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
I saw so many tweets going, oh, lol, what's he done there? And I was like, it's a Robbie Keenstell. It turns out the streets do, in fact, forget.
They do.
Do you think Robbie Keane practiced that?
I like
the thought of him doing it in his garden, like just to make sure he could absolutely land it every single time.
Yeah, but it wasn't that impressive, though. It wasn't like Peter Beagrie stuff, was it? Do you know what I mean?
No, but that was always
the
appeal,
wasn't it?
But that was always the appeal of the Robbie Keane roly-poly, is that it was slightly rubbish.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Compared to, like, Luau Luau, who was, like yeah, doing all these mad flips everywhere.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
His was a little bit, like, of a more agile than normal Irish man, but still most certainly an Irish man doing that sort of flip.
I do find it funny, though, when people do these celebrations like Robbie Keane, you think it's not that great, but I suppose it was quite exuberant and quite joyous. Daniel Sturridge was another one, but that dance, you think, it wasn't even that good.
Yeah. Do you think Keane still does it every now and then? Like if he's home alone, feeling a bit wistful, just pop out garden. In the garden and go, you know what?
I'd like to think
I'll give it one more go.
I'd like to think he did.
Do you know which celebration, when you strip away all the PR and all the stuff, is actually the most cringe of them all? Ronaldo's.
Yeah, it's
by a million miles.
Totally,
it's
yes.
Totally cringe.
Yeah,
and everything about the man's.
They're trying so hard to make it a thing, and all his fanboys doing this. Mm. It is a cringe celebration.
Yes, totally,
couldn't agree
it's
more.
Terrible. Mm. It's worse than Gareth Bale's heart thing.
Oh, yeah.
Even worse than that. Mind and then the bar is set low.
A lot of people did the heart celebration, though. That wasn't... Gareth Bale did it quite a lot as well.
Significant cringe.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Well, yes. Luke Ayling, back to him, though. He was involved in all three goals, which was quite enjoyable. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I mean, never has a sending off like changed the game so dramatically.
From a Wolves point of view, that must be so frustrating.
Well, it is. 2-0 up and cruising.
Yeah.
And did you think it was a sending off?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think it was either.
Yeah, it's a little harsh.
It's a kind of a coming together. Because it was a second yellow, right? So I think if it was a straight red, that would have been particularly scandalous.
It was one of those, it looked like a bad collision at first. And then you watch the replay a couple of times and you think, what's he actually done wrong there? Mm. Like, what exactly has he done that's not, you know, he's allowed to run after the ball, I think.
Yeah.
And the goalkeeper's kind of inserted himself into the situation. Mm. You're going to get smashed.
I quite like Bruno Lage when he was asked about it. And he said it was very strange. Excellent choice of words. Sad scenes as well, though. Patrick Bamford went off injured early on, looked absolutely devastated. He's like, oh, that's a shame to see. Anyway, let's move on to Aston Villa 0, Arsenal 1. Saka with the goal, Jim. Arsenal looking good for top four.
Yeah, still, you know, quite a lot of games to go. Arsenal have got, 10 games left? Yeah, 10 games left in the Premier League, which is a quarter of a season, so I'm trying to sort of temper my expectations, but they are doing everything you need to do to finish strongly, and it's beautiful to see.
It's a dogged performance.
It was a dogged performance, And this is it. I think this is what Arteta's getting Arsenal to do. They sort of, we touched on it with Liverpool earlier, but like there are a lot of different types of challenges. Different games present different challenges, and you don't know what they are until they're happening. And Arsenal are getting far better at managing that.
Yeah, I mean, Villa have been pretty impressive at times. I mean, they lost them before they played Arsenal. But I mean, you know, with old Coutinho buzzing around and forward players and so on, they've been among the goals. So Arsenal to go there and get a clean sheet is quite impressive. Yeah. But the manner of performance, as you say, was pretty good. I mean, what do you think of Arsenal at the moment, Lars? Because, you know, the top three are the top three, despite Chelsea what's going on. So if Arsenal can cement fourth position, I think it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I've been impressed with this run. Jim will be even more familiar with them, but I feel like they're ahead of schedule.
Yes.
I think they had a big transitional summer, a lot of players out, a lot of young players in. And I know people were very angry when they lost a couple of games early on in the season, but you know, you've recruited young, you've made the squad younger, which I think you had to do, but it's rational then to think it might take some time before this really gels. Mm-hmm. For them to put together the kind of run they're on now, not just the run of wins, if you look at the defeats in a weird way, like the way they coped with Man City and were very unlucky not to get something from that, I thought all things considered, they coped very well with Liverpool, allowing for the fact that I think Liverpool and City are
two
best teams in the world. Mm-hmm. I didn't think they'd be this good this soon. I liked their business better than a lot of other people did, because I'm pretty big on, I think making your squad younger is often very important.
Yeah.
And it leads to some short term pain. But I was expecting them to look like this maybe next year, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the fear, really, almost. But the youth is an advantage, where you might think there's naturally going to be a little bit of naivety in there. But those players have gelled together so well. The partnerships sort of all over the pitch, really, like Odegaard and Saka, Ben White and Gabriel, Aaron Ramsdale and everyone, is really heartening to see. And all of, they've signed five players in the summer, and all of them have gelled well. Now, Lokonga and Tavares have not played as much as other players, but they've been useful when they've been called upon, and it speaks to the clarity of Arteta's vision, I think, and
yeah.
the fact that he's been allowed to start building his own team. And it's a hugely controversial decision to give Aubameyang to Barcelona for essentially for free.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem to mind being the bad guy when a tough decision needs to be made for the good of this team. And he seems to, you know, more often than not get those decisions right. And people are really starting to sort of warm to him. Even the kind of most vocal, like Arteta out, like Twitter idiots, have gone quiet on it, where they've been given pause for thought. So it's just really hugely positive and encouraging. And yeah, just long may it continue.
Do you think they were over-celebrating though? Because Gabriel Bonhoeffer is the latest person to suggest Arsenal.
It's amazing. We may have lost the game, but we didn't celebrate. We still win.
Take the victories where you can.
He said it was.
I may have failed the test, but I didn't study for it. So the joke's on you.
Bonhoeffer said it was like they'd won the Champions League.
Yeah.
He subsequently apologised.
He did apologise for it, didn't he? And I do understand, because Wolves said the same. I understand players saying that, and fans, and obviously Aubameyang is both a fan and ex-player of Villa. Understanding the emotion after a game, a team saying that, but like when you see other fans saying it, you won a Champions League. It's like you. Arsenal are in a moment. Clearly, yeah. they're a team that are gelling. They've come from just years and years of underachieving, years of mediocrity, years of frustration. If you can't look at that and extrapolate, if you can't look at that and understand why those fans are celebrating, you're an imbecile.
Yeah, the open top bus tour around Highbury on Saturday evening was a bit much, though.
It was.
Yeah, but you had a good time.
Maybe excessive.
You mentioned Aubameyang a moment earlier. Couple of goals for him in the Clásico.
Yeah, I see what you're doing.
4-0.
I see what you're doing, Marcus. What, I want
do, you see
to
what
know
he,
that.
Do you see what he's doing?
I am seeing what he's doing.
Sorry, I'm just going. I've had too much coffee. I thought you said that Gabriel Bonlaura has got a few goals in the Clásico.
I just,
again, that would surprise me. I know Barca were playing well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, Gabby, he retired early. But yeah, Barca, lovely old job. If you would like more Arsenal chat, everybody, then Andy and Jim went along to the Emirates and the pub on Wednesday night last week for Arsenal's clash versus Liverpool and recorded a very special At The Match episode, which you can catch today on Football Ramble Presents. Jim, is it worth our time?
It absolutely is. It's a great show. It's really interesting to hear shows made at matches, and it was a privilege to do it. It was even though Arsenal lost the game, it was really fun to sort of go down there with Andy and talk him through my sort of match-going routine. So, yeah, I've had a bit of shit on Twitter because I said London's good.
Yep.
But are you reclaiming the sourdough?
I am.
You gotta reclaim it. I worry about with the rising cost of living that affects us here as well. And even people who can afford to live in Islington, I think, are feeling it. So I do wonder if we have to, you know, downgrade those digs. Like the banter has to be readjusted. It's no longer sort of you eat sourdough and drink Merlot. It'll be like you keep the heating on when you leave the house. Like, you have hot showers for longer than 90 seconds.
Someone's up to date with their rent.
Someone's not under threat of eviction.
Look, we've all got the same 24 hours in a day, so just work harder.
Oh, all right, Jimmo. So get that on Football Ramble Presents, as we say. Gentlemen, I'd like to end today's pod with talk of another derby. From far away. It was in Argentina. It was Rosario versus Newell's Old Boys, Marcelo Bielsa's old team. It was delayed on Sunday after, and I quote, a number of grenades had been thrown onto the pitch by fans.
It's not ideal.
That blew
is that
holes
lost in translation, or is it?
No, that blew holes in the playing surface.
Yeah.
Newell's won 1-0.
Yeah. If I feel like it's been a while since we had an update from South America, and this one has not disappointed.
Well, there we are. We wanted to wait for an explosive update, and my goodness, we found that. Yeah. So they took it down to the trenches, which, of course, were created by those grenades pre-match.
Marcelo's old boys.
But they did win 1-0. So,
of course, it doesn't really suit. I mean, it's not playing style appropriate. Marcelo Bielsa team would really struggle to play football in a pitch that's been puckered by grenades. Whereas I think for Big Sam, this could be a real... I mean,
watch.
I'm surprised.
Big Sam.
I mean, next time, Big Sam. I mean,
get the grenades on the pitch, boys.
Yeah. Sammy Lee's taking notes.
Handing him the grenade.
Sammy Lee lobbing grenade after grenade.
Hey, don't worry, boss.
Play tiki-taka on that one, you'd...
It's kind of unfathomable, isn't it? Like, it's a top-flight game.
Yeah.
Imagine, like... Imagine that happening at like Norwich.
No, it's not going to happen.
Blew up the pitch.
Well, no, to be fair, you could have picked a different Premier League side than Norwich.
But any Premier League, they're throwing grenades on the pitch markers. It doesn't. That,
you wouldn't get it at the London.
The choice of team isn't there.
You wouldn't get it at the London Stadium because, of course, of the running track or the, you know, you wouldn't be able to get it either.
Well, that, if you've got a good arm, I think Sammy Lee could chuck a grenade a fair distance.
Yeah.
And then you'd had Keyes and Gray going, yeah, of course, you know, Sam Allardyce, he is an innovator, you know. People say he's old-fashioned, but no one had really thought of throwing grenades onto the field a bit before. So that's new.
There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to The Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. On tomorrow's show, Jim, you're back with Kate and Luke.
Yep.
Lovely. Mm. Lovely times. Well, until then, Jim, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Lars Sivertsen, a pleasure as always, my good friend.
Thank you for having me, Marcus. Oh, I've had a good time.
We've had a good time. I hope you've had a good time too, listeners. We'll see you very, very soon. You'll see Jim tomorrow. Ta-ta for now.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.